I'd like for you to open your Bibles to the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Hanging on the cross near the end of his life, he said to the beloved John and to his mother, he told his mother, he said, "Behold your son, John will be unto your son." And he said to John, "Behold your mother, she will be unto your mother." And after this, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, what a mind to understand the scriptures. Know that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He said, "I thirst." He did that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon his sop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit to the Lord. He yielded up the ghost, laid down his life, gave up the ghost. I want to talk to you this morning about one word that those who stood around the cross, those who understood the Greek language, they understood the word quite plainly, but they had no idea what it meant. And that's translated into three words, and it's spoken of in English and understood in English, but the people today in religion have no idea what it means. Most of them still trying to do something to earn salvation, work their way into glory by some act of their own. This word is teleo. It is finished. Teleo. Teleo! You read the Gospels together, the four Gospels, and you find out that when he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "It's finished!" What's finished? It's finished! Teleo. It's finished. One small word. And yet this word, heard and understood, is the greatest encouragement to the saints of God. This word, heard and understood, is the greatest encouragement to unbelievers. It's finished. It's finished. What's finished? That's what we're going to look at a few minutes this morning. These are the last and final words of our Lord hanging on the cross. It's finished. It's accomplished. It's done. Whatever he's talking about, it's finished. It's finished. This is not the cry of a man in despair, but a victorious cry of one who had accomplished what he came forth into this world to accomplish. It's accomplished. It's done. It's finished. I've finished that which the Father gave me to do. That's what he says in John 17. I've finished. Before the foundation of this world, I'm not going to turn there and read, but before the foundation of this world, the Father had a book of decrees, his purpose, his counsel. And the Son looked at that book, and thus he said, "Thus it's written in the volume of thy book, O God, to do thy will. It is written of me to do thy will." And the next verse, "I delight to do thy will." That's written in the counsel of God before he ever made this world. In the book of eternity, eternal decrees. Before the earth was formed, it was written in the book of God's eternal counsel. Sacrifice and offering Thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me to give himself, to sacrifice himself, to live before God and die under the wrath of God. I delight to do thy will. He came to do the will of God. 12 years of age. He stayed behind at the temple as his parents were on the way home, Joseph and Mary. They came back, and when they found him, they questioned him, and he said, "What?" I'm paraphrasing. "Don't you understand that I must be about my Father's business?" He came into this world on an errand from the Father. He came into this world to do the works the Father gave him to do, speak the words the Father gave him to speak, perform the miracles God gave him to perform. That's why he came into this world. "I must be about my Father's business." John chapter 4, he told the woman of Samaria, or he told his disciples after he had talked to that woman. He said, My meat, that's what I live on. That's what I live for. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish that work." Finish that work. And here he hangs on the cross and cries out with a loud voice, "It's finished. It's done. It's finished." Then he said in John chapter 5, he said, "The works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, because I'm doing what it's written that I would do." John 17, speaking in anticipation, he says, "I've finished the work which you gave me to do." Finished. It's finished. The work of the Father, that which he sent the Son into the world to do, whatever that work is, it's finished. It was finished when he cried that cry on the cross. Telio! It's finished. All that the Father sent me into this world to do, I delight to do it. And I declare unto you, it's finished. It's done. What was finished? What was finished was his substitutionary sacrificial life and death. His days were over. The fullness of time had come. His hour had come that he must die. He had finished his days. He must still deliver up the Spirit, his Spirit, to the Father. But he said, "It's finished. The sacrificial work of the Son of God is all done." He hung there on that cross, and men scoffed at him, derided him, and mocked him. Gambled for his clothing. The Father poured out his wrath upon him. For 3 hours the world turned to darkness. Darkness! That work is finished. What was finished? When he knew that he had fulfilled all the scriptures, all the Old Testament prophecies, predictions concerning himself, what he would do, he said, "It's finished." When he knew that all the scriptures concerning him for this part of his life were done, he said, "It's done. It's finished. It's finished." He is the fulfillment. He himself is the end of every offering, every sacrifice, every type in the Old Testament. He is the fulfillment. Those things were just that, types and pictures. He's the reality. He's the sum and substance, the reality of all those things. The Bible said He would be born of a woman's seed. He would be a woman's seed. He was. It's done. Bible said he'd be born of a virgin. Came into this world born of a virgin. It's done. The Bible said he'd be the seed of Abraham. He was. It's done. It's finished. That prophecy had been fulfilled. The Bible said he'd be a descendant of David. He was. That prophecy is fulfilled. It's finished. Now he sits on the throne of David. The Bible said he'd be born in Bethlehem, and on and on and on and on, and all those things. They're finished. They're done. Sufferings, death, resurrection, enthronement. It's all done now. Adam and Eve's coverings of skins typified Christ, who was to come. It's finished. He came. Abel's more excellent sacrifice, a picture of Christ. He came. It's done. Gave himself. It's finished. Sin's put away. Abraham's offering up his well-beloved son Isaac on the mountain. Now God has fulfilled that picture, offered up his own son. Spared him not. Noah's Ark, the only place of salvation in all the world, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's finished. All of these prophecies. Passover lamb, that's who he was. The cure for the serpent's bite back in the wilderness, he's that cure. Look to him in the obedience of faith and live. The smitten rock, on and on and on. Isaiah 53, it's finished. Hanging on there on the cross, beaten as no man was ever beaten before. He hardly looked like a man at all. Yet he had the presence of mind to go through the Old Testament scriptures and realize that they were all finished. Knowing that the scriptures must be fulfilled, he said, lastly, I thirst to fulfill the scriptures. What's finished? Thank God his sufferings are finished. All those types and shadows, but his sufferings are finished. He came into this world to suffer. It said in Psalm 88, I'm afflicted and ready to die from my youth. From my youth. Hebrews suffered the contradiction of sinners against himself all the days of his life. But it's finished now. Thank God it's finished. No more suffering. He was truly, as no other man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But that's all done. It's finished. He suffered at the hands of men and at the hands of Satan. It's finished. And lastly, and worst of all, he suffered at the hands of the Holy Father. But no more. It's all done. It's finished. Sin has been paid for. Justice is satisfied. It's finished. The Bible says, smitten, forsaken of God, and afflicted. But it's finished. No more. What's finished? The sacrifice for sin. The propitiation for sin has been offered unto God. It's done. It's finished. There'll never be another offering. There'll never be another offering that God looks at it all. He looked at the Old Testament offerings that never put away sin, because he saw in all of those sacrifices and offerings his only begotten Son. Now the Son's come. The reality, the end of those types and shadows. Offered himself, gave himself. And by one offering, he put away sin. He satisfied God. He was made a propitiation, satisfaction for our sin. It's finished. It's done. You don't have anything to offer God for your sins except Christ. If you could offer unto the Father his only begotten Son with all your faith, hope, and trust in him, that's enough. That's all God accepts. And that's all he desires. The sacrifice of his Son. Forsaken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But it's finished. Sacrifice, perfect sacrifice for sin. If his people are to be saved, if there's anybody in this world ever to be saved. Now listen to me carefully. This is not understood very well in our day. If anybody in this world is ever to be saved, their sin must be paid for. Justice must be satisfied. God can by no means, Exodus 34, 7 or 8, God can by no means clear a guilty man. Sin has to be paid for. Sin has to be punished. The law has to be satisfied. Justice has to be satisfied. The requirements of holiness must be satisfied. The awful debt we incurred before God must be paid. And that's part of what he meant when he hung there on that cross and said, it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. The sins of old David Edmondson, they're put away. Put away. Justice is satisfied. Holiness is satisfied. The law is satisfied in every way. And God is now, faithful and just to forgive those. Faithful and just to forgive those for whom he died. The big answer, the big question of all times is how can God remain just and justify the ungodly? How can the lawgiver remain just and holy and justify those who are guilty? Let them walk away because their sins are paid for. Their sins were paid for. Law and justice were satisfied. Propitiation was made. For their sins. All that the Holy Father requires, it's finished. Let me read you a passage. Turn here. I want you to see this real close. Hebrews chapter 10. I've read this often to the church here, and I want to read it to you one more time. I never get tired of reading it, because right here is my hope. By one man, one man's act, many became sinners. The act of Adam back in the garden. By another man's obedience, one man's disobedience, another man's obedience, the obedience of Christ, many shall be made righteous. That's the only way that I can ever stand righteous before God, by the actions, the conduct, the attitude, the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way I can stand before God without being cast into outer darkness. Look at verse 11 and notice these verses carefully. Every priest, these Old Testament priests, ordained of God, every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which never took away sin. They were typical. They were temporary. But this man, I love that. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. These priests down here offered the same sacrifice and offering day after day and never took away sin. But this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever and sit down, it's done. It's finished. It's finished. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, those who are set apart, those who are chosen of God, the elect of God. By one offering he hath perfected them forever. Judgment God cannot twice demand. First at my substitute's hand and then again at mine. Sin must be paid for. And when Christ stood as a representative, a substitute, and surety for his people, their sins were paid for. And God is faithful and just to forgive them. God will forgive them. God will bring them to Christ. Every one of them. Every one of them. Perfect atonement has been made. Infinite holiness and justice has been satisfied. Now God is faithful and just to forgive these people. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's death and another's life, I rest my soul eternally. On a life I didn't live, on a death I didn't die, on that man lived and died, I rest all my hopes. He only satisfied God. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who aught to my charge can lay? Fully absolved by Christ I am from sin's tremendous curse and shame. It's finished. It's finished. The sacrifice for sin. I love the words of Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet. Misused a lot in our day, but here's what he says. Just take them at face value. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he shall finish the transgression. Make reconciliation for iniquity. Make an end of sin. Make an end of sin. Finish the transgression. And bring in everlasting righteousness for us. By his life and his death, he brought in everlasting righteousness. He perfected forever those that are chosen of God and precious in his eyes. Salvation. What's finished? Salvation. God laid on him, the Bible says, the iniquity of us all. Substitution. Satisfaction. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Substitution, satisfaction. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. Substitution, satisfaction. It's finished. It's finished. What should I do to have peace with God? Look to Christ. He is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He established our peace. It's all in him. It is finished. There is nothing for a sinner, nothing left for a sinner to do. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. By one offering, he perfected us forever. Listen now. Wherefore the Holy Ghost, verse 15. Verse 14, for by one offering, he is one offering for sin. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is a covenant that I make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Put my laws in their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and listen to these glorious words. But we should be expecting it, because it says, by one offering he hath perfected us forever. He made an end to sin. Listen. And their sins, those for whom he died, and their sins, the elect of God, and their sins, all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and their sins and iniquities, will I remember no more. If you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, you're like David, your sin is ever before you. Like the Apostle Paul, you see that in yourself dwelleth no good thing. You see your sins, you can't forget them. God doesn't remember them. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, God doesn't remember them. It's finished. He put an end to sin. Establish righteousness. One other verse. Now where the forgiveness of sin is, verse 18, there's no more offering. You don't need another offering. The offering has been made. The offering has been accepted. The offering satisfied God. There is no more offering for sin. What must a sinner do? Believe what I've told you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's finished. Nothing left for the sinner to do. Salvation is a free gift of God to those who believe. And even their faith is a gift of God. Listen. No work to be done. What must I do to be saved? No work to be done. What must I do to be saved? No price to be paid. It's free. Salvation is a gift of God. No more offering for sin. It's been offered. It satisfied the Father. It's finished. It's finished. Now, like the Philippian jailer came running to Paul and Silas and said, Sirs, failed him. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, not I hope so. You shall be saved by believing, through believing, in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, Ephesians chapter 1. In whom you trusted. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Paul asked three very important questions, four after that, that how can they call upon him in whom they've not believed? How can they believe in him who they've never heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except to be sent of God? We must hear the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? Well, listen to Peter on the day of Pentecost. He said, this same Jesus that you crucified, he was delivered by the purpose of God into your hand for a little while. And you took him and you crucified him. You killed him. But God raised him from the dead, set him on the throne of David. It's all in Acts 2. That apart, beginning with verse 22. Set him on the throne of David. Made him to be both L-O-R-D, Lord and Messiah, Lord and Christ. He was in your hands a little while. Delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You killed him. Now you're in his hands forever. You're at his disposal. And he's going to dispose of you one way or another. And the cry of every heart here this morning should be, Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Listen, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Preachers are saying today, don't pass Jesus by, talking to sinners, you know. Don't let him be a failure. Let him have his will. Let him have his way. He's going to have his will. He's going to have his way. He died that he might be Lord of the living and the dead. Now listen to me. We're in his hands. Kiss the Son. Lest he be angry. Just a little. And you perish. Perish. May God bless these words to every heart. Maybe we'll be able to stand before God, faith and trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we'll be able to stand before God as the Apostle Paul did and said, I know whom, not about whom, in whom. I know whom. My faith is in a person. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's saving trust, saving faith, saving confidence. In a salvation, in a Savior, it's finished. It's finished. Telio, it's finished. It's done. It's accomplished. I finished the work you gave me to do. All my faith is in the Christ who finished that work. God bless you. Okay, David.